You're listening to part two of the August 16th Jimmy Doan Show.
That is perfect.
We're too busy singing to put anybody down.
That's perfect. Perfect. That's perfect for the intro to this part two. Part two here of the August 16th
Jimmy
Doan Show. In case you're just joining us, we have EJ.
Eat more chocolate.
That's right. And Counselor Curtis, we've got more legal questions.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, good. That's right. You do. And Engineer Eric.
I hit the record button.
Finally, yes. We saved. Jimmy, unfortunately, had not been making the official backup up until just now, so this will be good. So anyway, I want to move on here and talking about tasers. You did see where, in wherever this was, I forget what, the guard tasered a guy holding his newborn son. Apparently what had happened is the lady had had a husband and wife in the hospital. He wants to take the kid out. And there seems to be some discrepancy as to whether they were having a fight or something, but the husband and wife, but he picks up the kid and starts to leave. And because he's got this wristband on, I didn't realize this, but in this hospital, you have it's like a checkout thing. What do you call it? Those things that open up the doors when you walk out of the beep when you go out through the Walmart or whatever. What this does is it keeps the elevator doors from working.
The baby had the wristband on.
Oh, the baby.
It was the baby, right.
Okay, it makes sense in a way in that.
So no one can steal the baby.
Nobody can steal the baby, right. Well, of
which
course,
happens
the father trying to take his own kid out. And when you read this article, you wonder, what was this guard thinking? They tasered the guy because he was. Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, that was the baby screaming. That's the drawback.
Well, it says this guy, 30 years old, April 13th episode began after he and his wife felt mistreated by the staff at the Women's Hospital of Texas, and they decided to leave. Hospital employees told him that the doctors would not allow it. But Lewis picked up the baby and strode to the bank of elevators. The elevators would not move because wristband sensors on each baby shut them off if anyone tries to take an infant without permission. What happened was then he apparently started to raise a stink. The security guys came back and tased him, and he fell down with the kid. Of course, brilliant. Newborn. Smack.
I'm sorry to laugh, but it's just too much for my little bean.
Child Protective
around.
Services has custody of the baby because of a history of domestic violence between Lewis and his wife. Agency spokesman Estella Alguin said the infant does not appear to be suffering any health problems. Of course, the father says that the child is... got, ADD, DDA, and ADD,
ADHD,
or whatever the hell it is.
Right,
ADHD,
well, the kid can't talk anymore.
Yeah, brand new, right, yeah.
He's got ABCs.
That's right, don't even got that. So they, as I say, they tased this guy. What I get about this is the guy, at this, even though they might have had a history of some kind, according to the Child Protective Services, they might have had a history of domestic violence, apparently... the wife and the husband felt they were being mistreated, and both of them wanted to leave. So he picked up the baby and started to go, and then he got tasered for it.
Well, in all fairness, it says, I don't know, I'm not buying this, actually, but it says
I'm not buying it either.
That the staff members were trying to find out his relationship to the infant, which I find impossible to believe. They must have known it was the father standing there.
Right.
At least the husband. Maybe not the father, which is why they had domestic violence. It's the husband, it's my baby.
Well, I would imagine that if you've got these enough sense to put these little wristbands on the kid, that you're certainly going to ask anybody that shows
who you
up.
Are.
Yeah, who are you? You would, and if the guy says, "Well, I'm a pedophile predator," you might mark him as right. somebody that you don't want taking kids out of there.
I eat the other white meat.
That's right. So that, but anyway, but of course his big apparently, and this happened also in the police station we talked about earlier, the big, when we went on break, we were talking about this, the big crime that he did was to use vulgar expletives.
Well, here's what's interesting.
And he was endangering Lewis, the infant and employees.
Right. Mr. Lewis, that's the father, was arrested and charged with endangering a child.
And so the guard?
They blamed it on him.
Awesome.
Yeah, not the guard. They blamed it on the guy who's carrying his child.
For forcing them to tase him.
For being a good target.
It reminds me, I think we mentioned this once before, and that is when the serial killer has the hostage girl and she, with a big Bowie knife at her throat and says to the good guy, the blood is on your hands if you try and do anything about things.
Well, no,
I don't think so.
No, it'll be on yours.
Yeah, it'll be on yours pretty much.
Go ahead, cutter.
And your shirt, and your shoes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so anyway, Lewis obviously got pissed off, went home, called up the officer who tased him and said, you know, you can imagine what he said to him.
Yeah.
He's arrested for that, too.
Right. Now, that's what he actually got indicted for. The grand jury refused. I love this. The grand jury refused to indict him on the endangerment of the child charge, which is excellent. That's awesome.
However,
because he didn't look like a ham sandwich there, I guess.
Yeah, right.
He did get charged with retaliation.
Retaliation. And I mean, is that on the books as a...
Now, I mean, don't you have to actually do something to retaliate?
To a police officer, man, you don't have to do...
I can just say, you're an ugly pig. And that's
not a good thing to do. No, yeah, I would guess that, as we've talked about before, it is stunning to me what constitutes assault and what constitutes battery. I mean, battery is like, you can have like verbal, battery. It can be battery, right?
No, battery has to be some touching, but it can be a caused to be touching type of thing where you rip something out of somebody's hands.
Right. If you're a little rapid in taking back your driver's ID, for instance, when he's handing it to you, if you snap it out of his hands, you go to jail. You can't.
It's possible.
Let me tell you,
the worst part is you get whacked with the stick.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much the night in jail. Yeah,
it's not. We're talking about the hard.
That's more fun than the stick.
Well, anyway, the last sentence, of course, here tells a lot of it. The taser, according to the people that are the taser people on the taser end of this thing, the taser people, not the tasee. The taser itself is a legitimate law enforcement tool, said so-and-so, a criminologist. The problem is the abusive use of them. They're supposed to be only used to protect yourself or another person from imminent aggression and physical harm. They're overused now. So apparently the three laws of robotics don't apply to tasers.
Well,
yeah. I'm not sure about that.
That's weak. If somebody doesn't find a way to charge the security, not even an officer,
he was a security guard.
It's all private
bowling,
action. So.
It'd
be civil action?
It's not a job for Jimmy Doan.
It's not a civil action.
Daddy Lewis to go back and finish what he started.
Well, yeah, he sue him is what you do.
So speaking again, moving on with what officers locally here. Locally, we've got a new money-making scheme.
Oh, my God. Yes,
the officers, we have a, in Florida now, they have a, they have for years, of course, they use the whatever, click it or ticket.
Uh-huh.
That's, as you know, here in Florida, you are supposed
click it or crack it.
Yeah, that's right. Technically, here in Florida, we don't have the seatbelt law as what they call a primary offense. They're supposed to stop
click
you.
Click it or stick it.
That's right.
They give you the stick.
You're supposed to be stopped for something else, probable cause on something else, and, oh, by the way, you're not wearing a seatbelt.
They've changed that, though.
Yeah, it's better to do that than not wear your seatbelt, eh?
They can pull you now for the seatbelt itself.
What?
Yeah, I think they upgraded that.
Yeah, I heard that too.
What?
Yeah, yeah, you can get pulled for not wearing your seatbelt. Now they went ahead and
I don't believe it. Jimmy would have.
Policy is not to do it in the counties that I've been in, but they can.
You're kidding.
I
did not know that. Jimmy needs to do some large.
There's a war on drivers out there, Jimmy.
Well, then, and here we are, and here's that, and then we segue back into this article. Officers apply brakes to red light runners. Here locally, they have a big scourge of red light running. And of course, this is a university town. One of the things that you do find, the slowest way to get through a non-working light is to have a policeman standing there because you never know when he's going to hold up his hand. You always slow down, and it can cram traffic to death. Well, when you have a light at an intersection, a lot of people use what I consider to be some kind of judgment and to figure out, is the light, can I make it through this thing before it actually turns red?
I can make it!
Yeah,
because
I know that given this Newton's second law or whatever it is, that the time that it takes...
With enough inertia, you'll make it.
Yeah. Well, no, that's the... I'm talking about the one that...
You have to
that
go through
the,
a few cars.
I'm talking about the one that has to do when you start something, when you apply the force...
F equals MA.
Yeah. So that you realize that this guy is at a standing still at right angles to you, and so you're going to go through there, and you realize that no matter, even unless he's in a dragster, there's no way when you go through that light that he's going to nail you. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but it turns out that there is a rule, and it has to do with how far you can be in the intersection or out of it or whatever before the light actually turns red, and then they can arrest you. So they have a real deal here locally, because we have a lot of students, and a lot of students are on their way to class and so forth, and these guys are indefatigable, indefatigable, whatever it is, indomitable and immortal.
Abominable.
And abominable, right. And they are always pushing the envelope on this stuff. And it's no big deal. I mean, you understand that here in this town. Anybody that's driven around here any length of time is you.
Yeah, and our lights are timed about as well as a, you know, 1906.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
no, the lights here are unbelievable. Right. In fact, the lights timing here locally is so bad that you can stack up through lights. Mm-hmm. And so that even when your light is green, mm-hmm. the light in front of you is so out of sync that you sit there through two lights
right.
before you can actually go. So needless to say, some people push the envelope a little bit. Mm-hmm. It turns out that this is a money-making opportunity for the local sheriff, and what they've done is they have what they call sting operations. What they did is they took a sheriff's deputy, they dressed him up like a bum, and they stuck him out on the corner with a torn up cardboard sign.
Which is no longer legal in the city.
Which is no longer legal, right. But they did it anyway, and the sign said, "Watch out, don't run red lights." But, I mean, like, who reads it? And he was the guy that had the little microphone, and so when somebody would run the light, he would say, red car turning left on this street, you know, blue car turning right, get that one, and so forth. Ran the light, ran the light, ran the light. $192.50.
And he personally made $17.32.
Yeah, no, that's right. For the illegal people, of course, you're not allowed to do that. But they arrested two people because they donated money to him. That's right.
Right.
So he looked so bad.
Now, look, the $192. First of all traffic stuff could be suggestions. All traffic laws could be suggestions. So there's a natural restriction that people have when they're driving around. And
it's called
I don't want to die.
Yeah.
You know, that's what prevents you from driving too fast or running the red light too late. I mean, it's because you're afraid of dying.
Right.
Well, there was another, I talked about this on a show not that long ago. They have deregulated several major intersections in the Netherlands.
No, they did the whole town.
I mean, the whole town.
The
right,
whole town.
Right, right. And so, in other words, there are no traffic lights.
Nothing.
There are nothing.
Zero.
Totally
no
clean.
No yields, no speed
and they
bumps,
had
no nothing.
No accidents.
Yeah.
You know, and they had like 8 fatalities in the past.
Well,
you know,
I can see putting the signs up there as a suggestion. You know, yield here or stop here or red light or something like that. But
you know, if you're going to do that much, you might as well do the whole 9 yards. I mean, as far as the red lights are not a suggestion.
Well, the red light, no. Well, I mean, it sort of is. I mean, you could have a red light where you're sitting there at the red light. You need everyone.
Oh, no, there's no
there.
Question about that. No, I can tell you.
You can
no,
see
that
miles in each direction.
Exactly. No, no, no.
And I wait at these
no,
lights
no,
because I know
no,
there's a cop behind the sign up there.
Let me tell you, it is not only that. I can tell you there are at least 4 lights here in town that I go through regularly that, depending on the time of day or night, they should be blinking rather than anything mm-hmm. else, number one. Number two, they change for no reason. And stay changed forever. It's like they see my car coming, and you realize
that's the reason.
I don't know if they put some kind of
a good reason.
A light alert thing on my car, but I'm driving down.
The mayor's got a personal
vendetta. Well, we know that. Yeah, the mayor. Yeah, she reads
Jimmy
my when
out
she reads my letter that I wrote to her today.
Ooh.
Hey, let me play with the lights this time while he drives around.
Yeah, that's right.
You should have asked her to give you a lap dance when she was working at the club.
Yeah,
that pissed her off.
Yeah,
no, look right you, one street. Street over from the fridge here, the fridge studios here, is the slowest light in this town.
Is that right?
Boy, you get stuck at this at 22nd. We're at 23rd here. You get stuck at the end of 22nd, and it's
minute. No, no, that light pales into insignificance compared to the one over where Mrs. Jimmy is coming onto 39th Avenue.
Yeah,
that light is forever.
And it's only a 4-second light.
Yeah, too, no, right. So. No, when it changes,
if you're
driving down the street and you see it change,
right.
you're going to be there for another 20 minutes.
Right.
Because you have to actually be there
right.
with your car revved and your clutch in,
right.
ready to pop the clutch.
Yeah, if you got Richard Petty and Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Right,
and
right.
somebody else, the last person ain't making it.
That's right. No, they're not making it. And let me tell you what's funny about
Kenny
this.
Bernstein gets
now,
right
now, what I want to tell you is, of course, interestingly enough, late at night I have come down the main street, 39th Avenue there, and had the damn thing change on me then. And I'm sitting there, wait a minute, every time I sit there for 20 minutes on the side street, what is it doing changing now when I'm supposed to be going through it on the other end? So,
well, and there is one that I saw the other day that it's an actual 2-second light. And it's the one on 34th and South of 2nd. It's the arrow. Two seconds. 2 seconds.
Well, my point is, let me tell you a lot of this stuff, though. Here's the point. The arrow may be 2 seconds, but if you've been through this light about 100 times, you realize the synchronization of the lights or the lack thereof. And you know that even though your arrow is gone, that nobody is coming from the other directions because there's another arrow on another side that those people are going to be there. You can't see it, but after you've been through it 3 or 4 times, you realize, well, no, wait a minute, those lights don't change for another 10 seconds. So you cruise through it. And not forget for a minute the lights when you can see to the horizon and there's no cars and you're standing there at a red light. And as you say, you should be able to run those. But also when you realize that even the light is so out of sync, or not out of sync, but it's been designed in such a way that there's a 10 or 15 second gap when there's no chance that you could be hit. And so you go through the thing. And of course, that's when they nail you for $192. Now, the point is here, I'm saying nobody got off. They said of all the people they arrested, and they've been doing this all over town, by having a good story. You know, some people said, well, I'm from out of town, don't know what you're talking about. And this policeman said, no, this is the standard for the entire state, yada, yada, yada. Strict enforcement is what they call it. Zero tolerance. And reading the article. The policeman had a hand-lettered sign, cardboard torn from a banana box, clothing sign made him look like a panhandler. And he says, our goal is not to punish people. Our goal is the safety of the children, and of course, it's certainly not, and nothing to do with the money. And of course, the question you ask yourself is $192.50.
91.
That's huge.
I'm sorry. Yes, $191.50.
That's amazing.
No, you know, counselor, from some of the people that you've dealt with in the past, that $191.50 is enough to put them. I mean, behind.
Oh, that is a budget-breaking fine.
I mean, that will basically put them on the road to ruin.
Yeah. Well, and that is just the beginning, Jimmy. You got to factor in they're going to get hit. You get one of these tickets, you're getting hit with a $50 a month increase in your insurance.
That's true too.
Which means you're paying, and that's permanent for like 3 years. At you're least, paying right. $600 a year,
right? Extra
because right. of this one ticket,
right?
I mean, it
and
is.
Do you get some points? I would imagine too.
Absolutely. I mean, you can take the driver course. But even so.
That costs money.
Yeah, yeah.
And time out.
Yeah.
From your second or third job.
Right, right.
I mean, so the people that are only their mouth and nose above water, this
pulls you down a little.
This puts you into.
You swallow it. You get a mouthful.
You're going to swallow a couple of salt waters here on this one. Yeah. Well, this is why.
I'll let that one slide.
Look.
But of course, their answer to this is that they're looking seriously into this is a good thing. The cops absolutely think this is a great thing,
right?
And they're going to do more of it.
Well, this goes back to what you were saying a moment ago, where people have lost the understanding that just because something might be a good idea, doesn't it mean that it's going to make a good law?
Right.
You know, it may be a good idea to go with this speed limit, but you make everybody do it, and it's gonna wreck things.
Right. And it's a one size fits all, and it presupposes that that somebody in Tallahassee, for instance, knows better about the road conditions at that moment.
Right.
At that exact moment, and that they never change.
Right.
From 3 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's all the same.
Right.
Whether you're on I-75 coming off of I-75, or if you're on some deserted road that happens to have a red light or a stop sign, and you live next door to the place, it's all the same to these people.
Yeah. I mean, and the red light knows better, even though you can see there's no cars in either direction for miles. Look, this is a victimless, criminal intentless crime.
But you know, if you one of the quotes from one of the police spokespeople is towards the end of the article is that, you know, they are assuming, they're presupposing that we are running these lights because we are speed demons, you know? We're like, screw everything, screw the law, screw the man.
Yeah.
You know, no, it's not a matter of, well, I think I can make the light, or, oh, look, there's a semi, I don't see the light turn in front of me because I'm behind a semi.
Right.
And all of a sudden,
you are guilty. You are an absolute
evil
miscreant.
Criminal.
That's right.
And you need to be penalized. We need our claws on you.
Arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law.
This is what pisses me off, is it presupposes that we're all evil, miscreant, you know, criminals.
Well, and of course, so many times I've talked to Mrs. Jimmy about this, for instance, and sometimes you know, when you're doing something essential, like eating a hamburger and talking on the cell phone while you're driving, you may not realize that the light is changing until you get right up on it, and to stop your SUV, 2-ton, whatever it is, driving the speed limit, mind you, is not an option. So, I mean, you can either skid and lay some serious polluting rubber in the middle of the intersection.
And still fly through the, you know, and end up in the middle. Stop.
And that's right. Fined for that.
That's, and you get fined for that. So my point is that it seems reasonable enough that this would be one of those situations where you take your tank-sized SUV and cruise on through there and don't worry about it. Because, you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, well, they figure if you can afford an SUV, you can afford a $191.50 ticket.
Well, okay, then I'm going to say you're going to go through in your Yugo.
In your LTD.
On your motorized skateboard.
That's right.
Mrs. Jimmy had a friend that went through a red light, and she felt really bad about it, so she backed up through it.
Yeah, that's right. And, of course, the nice thing about that, I did this one time. It was funny you should mention that. I did this one time where I went too far through it, you know, went out into the pathway, put your nose out in the middle of the road or whatever. In fact, it was the light I'm talking about over on 39th. And so I quickly backed up, but I didn't look in my rearview mirror. But I looked in just enough before I nailed the guy in back of me. And he pulled up. And so I just dinked him. I mean, the smallest little dink. I mean, you can't imagine. It was like, you know, a 0.111G dink. You know, right. Nothing.
Well, but it happened to be McBain's car.
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, the guy gets out.
You don't know what I had to do for that
guy
thing.
Gets out. The guy gets out and, you know, starts hollering whiplash, suit, right. Everything. But we can settle this right here. And I said,
you can make my pain go away for easily $100.
Well, I said, no problem. It turns out this was back in the early days of digital cameras, and I happened to have one on me. I said, I'll just take pictures of everything and we'll take it into court. Boy, I'll tell you, talk about a guy that disappeared.
Because he didn't have his license or insurance.
Nothing. I mean, you know, no. I mean, you talking
and
about
it wasn't his car.
I don't know. I can tell you this much, but I started snapping pictures of the bumpers and everything like that. And he said, this guy, I mean, they're talking about running a red light.
He drove around you into the
oncoming lane.
The other
thing is, you know, we have a right turn on red here in Florida, but it's after stop.
Right.
And it's not a rolling stop. It is a dead stop. And if you don't do a dead stop, and I don't know about you, but, you know, if you get a full tank of gas, a dead stop is a rolling stop. I mean, there was the gas comes forward and you let off and the gas comes, you know, it pushes you back on through this thing. I don't know if you get stopped for that or not. I mean, you're dead on the 192.
Let me tell you something, too. The dockets, the criminal dockets, about a quarter of the cases on there are driving stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Criminal.
Criminal driving stuff.
Victimless criminal.
Yeah, what usually happens is they get a ticket, they don't pay it, because it's too much money.
Right.
They get their license gets suspended, and then they're still driving, of course, because you're going to drive.
Right.
They still haven't intended to commit any real crime, and still nobody's got hurt. Then they get busted for that, and the second time that you get busted for that in Florida is a felony. And then after that, it just snowballs. And I've had clients go to prison for years without any accidents, no DUIs, just simply didn't pay their tickets, and this thing snowballed.
It reminds me of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. I mean, he was in there for nothing and ended up with a lobotomy. Yeah. And I guess that's what they would like. I'm guessing.
It used to be you had to have a safety concern to pull over somebody for a traffic violation. You know, you had to be able to articulate, well, you know, you ran the red light, and there was a car coming the other direction.
Right.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. That's right. Well, as I say, it's tightening down, and the police are loving it, I guess. I guess the noose, folks, is tightening, and it's not going to get any better.
Hope all the people got tickets start voting Libertarian.
That's right. Well, and this brings up another point, and this has to do with the toll records. Now, they have Easy Pass, you know, all up and down the East Coast of the United States. And now, of course, they're catching the philanderers, as they call them, the people they're using the toll records as you go through the Easy Pass. You idiot! Instead of paying your dollar or your 50 cents, you know, in the little bucket, you use your Easy Pass to go through. And the next thing you know, they pull that up and find out that you were on east side of town when you was supposed to be on the west side of town.
Oh, yeah. Now, look, the days of perfect enforcement are on the horizon.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things. Easy Pass records. I just bought one the other day, an Easy Pass.
Uh-huh.
And I had to call up and register my car. And they took the make and model and year, color, and license tag.
V-I-N.
Everything. Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Oh, man.
And if I wanted other cars to use that Easy Pass, I had to register those as well. So they have a running record now. And, of course, now there's enough computer space to keep all the records.
Yeah, I mean, buy a terabyte for $500.
What I keep waiting for is I'm waiting to come home and there's five tickets in your mail. And it says, well, our GPS indicated that you exceeded the speed limit between this toll booth and this one.
Here's
this
the
one,
satellite
this one.
Image.
His, this one, this
here's
one.
The Google image
from the Google Earth.
That's Google right. Earth. Yeah, this is you, isn't it? You know, that kind of thing.
You owe us $1,000. And that's 40 points on your license.
Yeah.
So basically, well, you've lost your license. Right. We're coming to take
permanently
you to jail.
Revoked. Right.
Right.
And your
right.
car has been crushed into a cube.
Right.
And you have 15 minutes to move your cube.
Yeah. And of course, the first time I get 5 tickets, that easy pass is going to hit the pavement at about 95. You know.
It'll pass.
Well, what
easily.
You do is, of course, the nice thing is you can always have some fun with this, and this is called, you know, sticking it to the man. Is you take your easy pass and surreptitiously stick it on somebody else's car
or airplane.
Or an airplane. Yeah. Well, the other thing I did, of course, the other day I was coming down to see somebody in the Central Florida, and I was driving somebody else's car. And I don't know if you know this, but there are now on the turnpike. I'm stunned, mind you. Where you can, there's nobody there, and you can't. You have to either
exits
where you have to put in money. Coins
and there's
like
no
dollar,
change,
or you use the Easy Pass, and there's no change.
You have to have the exact change.
You have to have exact change, or you go and there's no other option. In other words,
$100 fine. I think
that's it. That's what
but
it
I
is.
But I mean, you know, you go there, and what's funny?
Now
is,
you do have to blaze through it 3 times. It says $100 fine, but they give you 3 strikes.
I know they do give you 3 strikes.
Well, so far.
Well, of course, the nice thing was I was so in far. Somebody else's car. So I blazed through it and went around and went through it again.
And gave him the finger.
No, I did. I did the whole thing. I gave him the
that
finger.
Went through 3 times just to make sure.
Just to make sure that they...
Is it 3 times a month or 3 times what? What's the deal?
Your life.
No, I think it's a month. Yeah,
I think it's a month.
I think it's got to be because we went through 3 times and they just sent me a warning letter.
Yeah.
And this was the first...
They were sending anything else about it?
No. I sent them an apology.
Oh,
back.
You did?
Yep. Sorry, thanks.
Suck this. Sucky expressway.
No, I did. Because I realized that we had, there was a slight chance that we had erred on that. Right. So I wrote them a nice letter. I'm sure it went, because it didn't have a check in it, they probably went in the shredder. So, you know.
Right. They tear over the corner, see if the check comes out.
They have a machine that does that.
They don't
waste their time.
No.
You don't
want to
get a paper cut.
At Riverside, they have a machine. When you run a red light, it's all done by machinery. Nobody, untouched by human hands. The letter, the only time it's ever touched by a human is the postman when he delivers it to your mailbox. That is, please send $192. No, it's $240 in Riverside for running a red light. Yeah, it's automatic.
Jeez.
And it's done by computers and cameras and snapshots and the
how
whole.
How can there be so many budget shortfalls in these?
Well, that's it. Let me tell you. Well, the reason
the money.
We talked about this 6 months ago. The revenue enhancement, as we say. From these things, it costs them, I don't know, a couple $100,000 to put these things in, and they get like $1 million extra from each one they install over what they were getting before. I mean, it is such a huge moneymaker that they can't afford not to do it. It is.
Come on, America, roll over.
And it's not like we can go down like a man.
Well, that was, of course, that was one of the things that I liked about those people that put the ATMs, that wheeled in the ATMs
right.
in the middle of the mall.
Right.
And then they, of course, it'd come out when you put your card in there and said, no, we're out of money.
Right.
Uh-huh.
But you can deposit money.
That's right.
Well, not only that, it records all that stuff on your card.
Right, right.
So,
including your PIN code as you punch.
Oh yeah, no, all of that. No.
And,
by the time the people got home from shopping, their accounts have been cleaned out.
Right.
Yeah, that's great. That's kind of fun. Anyway, it turns out that some states apparently do not allow subpoena of these records. They still have a little privacy for the day for today.
Yes, yeah, so
unless
far.
It's a criminal check. Unless it's criminal.
Right.
So apparently, divorce is civil, and they said in New Jersey, for instance.
In New Jersey,
So with a chick talk cut
when
up her
chick,
husband,
when, the chick said, when she catches him, she said, and they say, I know he was over at, you know, Betty Lou's house, and he had to go through, and they say, well, you know, we can't release those records. It's a civil matter.
Yeah. No, but when the chick cut up her husband, put him into 3 different suitcases and tossed him in the Chesapeake.
Right. Yeah, they use that.
They use that easy pass to catch her.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And they got it for pollution or what?
littering
and pollution?
Improper chum.
Improper chum. That's right. That pieces should have been a little smaller.
Yes.
A little more bite-size.
Oh, yes. You should have stuck them through the blender, the wood chip or something. That would have
been bass-o-matic.
That's right. Anyway, so moving on, I did notice that the eminent domain is in the news again, but not in this country.
Oh, yeah. The Chavez?
In Beijing.
Oh, Beijing.
Beijing, there's this little old family that is apparently, and this is so typical, I guess, when you read this, It sounds like it could have been written here.
This is for the maximum happiness of the people.
This is for the maximum. That's right. The land is needed for a beautification project. And it turns out that the house...
You're ugly.
Yeah, you've got an ugly house being here for 140 years.
You're ugly yourself. Move.
They're using their demolition. But, I mean, this all reminds me so much of Doug Adams, the universe thing, whatever it was.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide. You know, at the beginning of that, there's this bulldozer that's getting ready to make rain. I mean, the irony, of course, is so perfect because the bulldozer is outside his house. He lays down in front of the bulldozer, and finally, you know, as you will, if anybody knows the story in the first couple of pages, the whole Earth was being made way for a super space bypass.
Galactic bypass,
and they had to go on the Vogon ship. And so anyway, this is the same thing exactly here in China. I guess hopefully we're not on the path to the Vogon destruction. This might be the preliminary.
Come on, Vogons.
Yeah, that's right. So we need to punch the button on the Hitchhiker's Guide. Anyway, her building is an unsightly stump marring the view, said one person. And it turns out that it's on the Marathon route. So they've relocated almost everybody except this one person. She had a bakery here, apparently.
We need your house for this one day, really.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We need your house. That's right. It's for like 20 seconds while all the marathoners come by.
There will be people standing there for an hour.
Well, that's true. And so they want to mow that. But anyway, I didn't realize that in China they even. I mean, why would they bother with? Why is this a story?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I don't understand.
And it's all eminently dominated.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I don't understand this. They told this early this spring. Local officials presented a notice explaining that the Sun family, I love this S-U-N, would have to move in the name of slum clearance. Now they've made it a blighted area.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she came and when the bulldozer showed up, she climbed up on the bulldozer and it stopped. She added, they've used the Olympics to strip people of their property. They're doing these things against the spirit of the Olympics, and the family's hired bodyguards to protect the sisters. Apparently they sleep in the empty house at night and so forth and so on. But, I mean, this is...
Does a woman have Alzheimer's or something?
This
they
is
use
just
the Olympics
a matter of
to strip
time.
People of their property rights? I'm sorry, are we talking about the same China?
Exactly. Anyway, they said 1.5 million people are being eminently domained in China in the name of this...
1.5 million
people are being relocated.
They are being relocated.
Nice little word for the relocation camp.
Exactly. So they can make some lead painted toys.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's right. Well, that's ground up humans. I don't know. So anyway, moving along to the tourist news. I guess you saw the Space Hotel is opening in 2012.
Yes.
Okay, they're calling it the Galactic Suite. I thought this was a little presumption.
So are they going to have a bar up there?
I hope so.
Our astronauts can stop off for a quick one on the way home.
But you're already high.
apparently, it kind of looks like a molecule. They're like little pods. They have to launch all these little pods up.
Okay.
I thought about it would be cool to have it inflatable. I don't remember if this one's inflatable or not.
Well, it says it's most expensive in the galaxy, which I think is a little presumptuous because, how do they know?
Right.
I mean, it costs $4 million for a three-day stay. This is that thing I was telling you that by the time they get it up, maybe this next story that we talk about, the secrets of levitation,
mm-hmm.
It may turn out that you can just levitate up there for $4.
Right.
And,
but it still costs you $4
million. No, I think a Holiday Inn would be cheaper. And I think that we'll keep the light on for you. People would be up there.
You know, hotel.
Red Rocket Inn, baby.
That's right. Red Rocket Inn.
Red Rocket
anyway,
Inn.
During that time, the guests would see the sunrise 15 times a day, Velcro suits to crawl around in their pod. It's not called an iPod. Okay. The bathrooms at zero G are the biggest challenge. How do you take a shower in weightlessness, you know, kind of thing? And how do you keep from drowning?
Well, they thought about having like one pod with a bunch of water and you just kind of like jump into the bubble, you
right.
know.
And you got to swim around.
Well,
you have a little hose for air and you just jump and then you'd be totally immersed because the water's going to cohere into this big ball.
Hey, that's kind of neat.
You just kind of wonder what else. What do you do about the soap and stuff like that? I mean.
Who needs soap? Well, you're only there for 3 days.
That's true.
It's cold. You're not sweating up in space. Come on.
Well, you bring a, some hot space bunny up there with you.
Yeah, and you can bet that'd be first on the list. Right. For $4 million, yeah. You can bet I'd be pretty low on my oxygen.
225-mile high club. Right.
You've used up more than your allotted oxygen, Mr. Yeah. Doan.
That's right. They will take, of course, they said they're going to, what they're going to do is they're not going to just be up there for the fun. They'll, you know, they'll look at things from their, out their portals and take part in scientific experiments. And it'd be interesting to see what kind of, how many of them come back. Yeah. We lost a couple of the scientific experiments. It's called the body parts experiment.
Pod and, floating around with a couple of
bugs. This creature is one of them also.
Yeah. The galactic sweep began as a hobby for a former space air engineer, Clarabelle or whatever, until a space enthusiast decided to make science fiction fantasy a reality by fronting most of the $3 billion to build the hotel. Mm. And they don't know who this guy is, apparently. American company bent on colonizing Mars, which sees the galaxy suite as a first step, has since come on board, and private investors from a lot of places in the United Arab Emirates are in talks. They don't know who the generous backer is, but we've calculated there are about 40,000 people in the world who could afford to stay at the hotel. Whether or not they're going to want to do it, you know, something else. $4 million seems like a lot to spend on a holiday. Mm-hmm. But those in the nascent space tourist, you talk about nascent, it's like... two people in it. Nascent space tourism industry say hoteliers have been slowed on the uptake because no one thought of that the cost of space travel would come down as quickly as it has.
It's come down?
Well, from 20 million to 4.
That's a, you know, it's 20 million to send.
Oh, that's your ticket, too? That's not just the...
Okay. I think that includes the three-day stay.
Okay.
I'm guessing that the
is it all-inclusive?
And I'm guessing the mini bar's extra.
Okay.
Can you imagine what it costs of a shot of Maker's Mark on the moon?
Yeah, holy shit. That would be like 40 Krugerrands. They had to pay 10 Krugerrands to get the 40 Krugerrands up here because of the weight penalty. So
$100,000 per pound.
That's right. Guests also get to spend 8 weeks of intensive training at the James Bond space camp on a tropical island.
That'd be interesting.
No, I'd do that.
Yeah, I'd do that
part.
For
me.
Intensive at James Bond style? I mean, you got to be kidding me. I know the part of that I'd do.
I want octopus
anyway,
on my camp.
That's right.
Pussy galore.
That's right. Pussy galore. That, what, I'm going to the pussy galore suite. And I'm not coming back.
We buried Jimmy Doan in the pussy galore pod.
That's right. The casket was oddly shaped. There seemed to be a Christmas tree in the middle of it, but we
just ejected him off to the sun.
That's right.
The sun. That's the hottest place on earth.
That's right. There's a little fear. Apparently, some of the 40,000 people they investigated said there's a little fear, and they said the shuttle rocket is not going to come home. In the meantime, it's going to stay attached so that everybody can see the escape route.
Right. Osama bin Laden and Yasser Arafat's wife are the are two of those individuals on that 40,000 people list. Just so you know.
Really?
Oh yeah. He's got millions upon millions.
But it says here, but the last sentence again, but Claremont says, I'm hopeful that the impact of seeing the Earth from
impact, don't use that word. We're talking about space travel.
I'm hoping, this is the last sentence. There's a lot here. I'm hopeful that the impact of seeing the Earth from a distance will stimulate the guests' urge of to value and protect our planet.
Why would they want to come back?
So that's coming up in 5 years.
I think
saving your money, and you can make a donation, of course, to the Jimmy Doan.
We want to send
Jimmy. We need 5 million people to donate 1 million people to donate $5.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll think about even a mug, even at that.
Yep.
We'll think about it. We'll send you a picture of the mug.
A picture of the mug.
We'll email you.
That's right. An electronic picture.
We're green here. We don't want to waste
electronic
paper.
Picture of the mug. Filled with multicolored electrons.
I think they should have the Wernher von Braun model with the big spinning wheel thing up there.
I mean 2001,
right,
whatever. Yeah, sure, duh.
I mean, that way you'd have to solve all the showering /
sex problems,
right.
Yeah.
Well, no, sex problem, you'd be all right in a zero G. I'm sure. James Bond did it in Moonraker.
That's right.
Did he?
Yeah.
It's proven.
He did it?
Yeah.
He did it in space.
I did not know that.
Roger Moore and...
Moonraker, baby.
Yeah,
Moonraker.
No, I mean...
With Dr.
Moonraker.
Moonraker.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Goodhead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Come on.
I don't want to say that this... Am I missing something here? Is there something?
No, you got it. You got it.
Okay, good.
This is foretelling.
Last item I've got is it has to do with this, of course. The scientists reveal the secret of levitation. Now, when I read this headline, I thought, whoa, hot dog, we're here today.
Tomorrow.
We're going tomorrow. This is going to be... what is it? What is the one with Harrison Ford in the...
Blade Runner.
I thought we were going to have Blade Runner. Secrets of Levitation. Or at least, at the very least, a Luke Skywalker skimmer thing. But no, it turns out these are for nano things, whatever, smaller than a molecule. Scientists have discovered a groundbreaking way of levitating ultra-small objects, which may revolutionize the design of micro-machines.
What if you lift a lot of them underneath you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, this is the thing. They're talking about the nano world.
1 trillion nanobots.
That turns out it's some quantum thing. I don't know. He's undermined it.
It's like a dang Batman comic.
Huh?
Batman comics always had Batman, like, dead on the cover.
Oh, right. You know? Oh, yeah.
Batman dies.
Of course, no. You people don't come from the old days. It reminds me a little bit. I'm going to stop here. I guess tomorrow night it's the Flash Gordon series is back on. You people don't realize what it was like when I was growing up. Of course, we had a series. They called them cereals, not the kind you eat. There was a S-E-R-I-L. The series every Saturday morning or every Saturday at the matinee you go to, all the kids would show up for the mothers. Mothers love Saturdays because there was a double feature plus the cereal plus the cartoon. It was like 4 hours at the theater for 35 cents by kid, you know, and they went home to drink or do whatever they did. And they would
procreate and make some more
whatever
kids.
You want to drop off. That was the only time that they had time with their husbands and so forth. So anyway, they would drop us off. And the cereals, one of them was the Flash Gordon cereal. And of course, as you know, they had some of the space things, the Flash Gordon. They had some gangster stuff. And they were like 5 minutes before the matinee every time. And at the end of every one of these 5 minutes, like you say, the hero was dead.
Next episode.
The car went over the cliff. They showed the car sailing over the cliff. I mean, body, flesh parts, everything. The car blowing into a million pieces. And it says, stay tuned for next week. When, you know, Bob does something, whatever it is. Well, you'd come back the next week, of course, and of course they'd have to show the last 30 seconds or 45 seconds.
And instead the car would swerve around.
Unfortunately, they would show it from another viewpoint, you know, right. From the other viewpoint where the car didn't blow up, there weren't any body parts, the guy neatly leapt out in perfect health, didn't do everything. And of course, you're 8 years old and you say, could happen. I believe that. Okay.
No, he dove out through the windshield. He avoided the rocks and he landed it in a soft spot and there was some.
That's right. And the car went, you have to understand, the car sailed off of the Grand Canyon ledge at 80 miles an hour. And they showed it exploding in midair, and so then they showed it from another viewpoint. It shows him.
It made the light refracting off.
That's right.
Of the
no,
water.
No, it was no, exactly. And, it was yeah.
Swamp gas.
Swamp gas.
So anyway, I guess that's what I'm looking at here at the secrets reveal the scientists reveal the secret of love. No, anyway, that was what I don't want to say about the Flash Gordon thing. But this is unfortunately the ones on TV these days. They're nowhere near that good. I mean, I watched the preview and I went.
You're not 8 years old again. So.
Well, nine.
It's a little more logical. It's a little harder.
One of the things that you know, they say 65 is the new 64. So I don't.
When 65 becomes a new 16, call me.
Well, no, I've got. There's certain parts, unfortunately, not the visible parts that have never aged, and
the ones that you're not showing us visibly. Thank you.
No. I'm talking about the brain part.
Mind?
Yeah, the mind is certainly stuck in the 50s or something.
16?
And wishes it was.
So you taking another break, Jimmy?
I'm done, yeah. I'm done unless you got something. You guys got
Well, we got some stuff. We got light notes, and we got global warming we still haven't talked about.
Oh, my God. Okay, well, then we can take another quick break.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
You just listened to part two of the August 16th Jimmy Doan Show. For part three, go to jimmydoan.com or download it from your favorite podcast directory.